And Jesus said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fish for people." And immediately they left their nets and followed him. In the name of the living God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, amen. Please be seated. When my husband Tim and I were first married, my grandparents bestowed upon us one of those little vacuum cleaners, a little, you know, the kind with the hose, they like rolled around, plugged in. You always had to watch out not to vacuum up the cord or bend the hose, whatever. But it was great because we had no money and it was a gift, and so we used it. And eventually we earned enough money that we could buy our first vacuum cleaner. And so we went to to Sears, because Sears sold the best appliances, and we got a Kenmore vacuum cleaner. It was high cotton, you know. And at Sears, you could buy the filters you needed and the bags for the vacuum cleaner. And that vacuum cleaner lasted us a long time. But eventually, you know, Sears, not around so many places anymore, and so we got tired of those bags because the dust always gets everywhere. And so we bought a vacuum cleaner, a good brand of vacuum cleaner that had just the kind that you just dump out, right? No bags. But it turns out that even those vacuum cleaners need replacement parts. And there is no Sears in which to go get them. And so we have to go online. And when we go online and we type in the name and the number of our vacuum cleaner, we get 42 different places claiming to have the right parts. And recently we ordered a new battery for the vacuum cleaner. And the battery came and it was the wrong thing, because there were so many offers and so many promises that you would get the right thing that we could not figure out online how to get the right parts for our fancy new vacuum cleaner. Now, I tell you this story, or this, not really a story, but I tell you this because shopping has changed. It used to be that you could go to one place and you could get the thing. It's like the marketplace spoke to us with one voice. It required no discernment, just reading. And you could get the right part. But now there is a cacophony and multiple places, and they're all far away. And they have confusing pictures. And I don't know if it's just me, but it's a lot harder to discern the voice with the right promise. In our gospel today, the way the story is told in Mark's gospel, which is very concise, it always appeared to me as I imagine that story, that Jesus is walking along, and he's the only preacher anywhere in sight, and probably the only one who has come upon that place for months or years or decades or ever. And there are two boats. I mean, it is the shore of the Sea of Galilee, and but two boats, four fishermen, and they hear his voice clearly. And immediately they leave the stuff that they've gotten attached to and follow Jesus, right? One voice, making one promise, one time, and it all is clean and precise, right? You follow me. I mean, you heard Michael read the gospel. It's pretty clear, right? There's no ambiguity at all. And yet, on the shore of the Sea of Galilee, it was a lot more like a marketplace with lots and lots of fishermen and probably preachers coming along one after another, making promises, inviting followers, trying to gather up disciples to make their movement go forward. And so Simon and Andrew and James and John, they heard the voice of Jesus. They heard him proclaim the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe in the good news. And they heard Jesus say to them, follow me. And they discerned that this voice was different. And they followed. They followed. See, there was more than one voice that those disciples heard. And there was more than one time that they had to listen. Because their lives, like our lives, are full of voices inviting us to give ourselves to this project or that, to this leader or that, to this priority or something different. Many voices. And not just one time, but every single day, inviting us to do something with our lives. Many voices, many times. And what we must do if we are going to follow Jesus is to discern which voices match his voice. And how do we follow more fully today than we did yesterday? You see, it seems so simple in the story to identify Jesus as the Son of God and the conveyor of divine vocation. But in the marketplace that was their human life and ours, determining which voice belongs to Jesus, which tug at our hearts or impulse comes from God, requires discernment. And continued following means discerning and course correction all along the way. And so I'm going to talk just a little bit about a couple of ways to help us in our own discernment, in our lives of faith, as we seek to love and look more like Jesus every day. I'm going to talk about a couple of ways we can make our own, open our ears more clearly to the voice that comes from God. But first, I just want to point something out here. Following Jesus makes you a disciple of Jesus, right? Can I get an amen, church?
Amen.
Right? Following Jesus makes you a disciple of
Jesus.
Y'all sure?
Amen.
Following Jesus makes you a disciple of
Jesus.
Okay, so if following Jesus' voice makes you a disciple of Jesus, following Jesus makes you a disciple of Jesus, then what does following someone else's voice make you? A disciple of someone else, right? In the cacophony of voices that is our world, it's really important that we're clear about this point. Following Jesus makes you a disciple of Jesus. Following someone else's voice makes you a disciple of that person and not Jesus, okay? Like Simon Peter, whom we see his enthusiastic response in today's gospel, right? He leaves his nets, he goes. But you know Simon Peter, right? You know who he becomes. He becomes the one who doesn't understand what Jesus is saying multiple times. And he becomes the one who denies Jesus right before Jesus' crucifixion. Right? So it's we have to discern one voice many times in our lives. Just like Peter did. He had to keep learning what it meant to follow Jesus in this moment. And when he didn't follow Jesus, he was somebody else's disciple, right? Okay, so how do we know which is which? Among the many internal, right, the things we hear from ourselves and external voices, how do we know which voices are those that lead us toward Jesus. So first, discernment requires reflection. That is, quieting ourselves and listening to what it is we're following. First, we have to know what the voices are telling us. Have to reflect. And that is often aided by having a conversation with somebody else who is a person that is grounded, especially grounded in Christ, right? But a trusted friend helps us. So we have to stop, we have to reflect, and sometimes we have to converse. Like you might talk to Michael or Ashley or each other if you're trying to decide a direction to go. Have to stop and notice what those voices are and be in conversation. Okay, so that's true whatever the moment. But here are two ways to discern Jesus' voice. The first thing is that we measure against Jesus himself. So what do we hear and see in Jesus' life? We see compassion. We see justice for those who are oppressed. We hear good news. And it's not just good news for us, but good news for the whole world God loves. In Isaiah, we read a passage often applied to Jesus. It says, "A dimly burning wick he will not quench, a bruised reed he will not break." That's what Jesus was like. He healed people. He fed people. He encouraged people. He called people away from destructive life and toward abundant life in God, a life of compassion and mercy. He proclaimed forgiveness for other people, and he loved all the way to the cross. Okay, so on the cross he said what? "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." To follow as a disciple is to look like the master, to grow into the master's full stature. And so, the question that we ask ourselves as we're trying to hear Jesus' voice and his call for us is, does the path to which we are drawn lead to looking more like Jesus, the Jesus we meet in the Gospels, or like some other master? Right? That's the first thing. Measure against Jesus himself. And then the second test is this. As you follow the voices, the impulses you're hearing internally or from outside, how do you change? Does following produce in you the fruits of the Spirit? How do you change? So if you are listening to a program and at the end of it, you're so riled up and angry that you go out and are angry at other people, or just have so much impatience for the, you know, that person you have to call on the phone trying to sort out your problems with the IRS. Right? Those people deserve some prayers, right? But if whatever we're exposing ourselves to us produces, there's a whole list in Galatians that I'm not going to read to you about envy and anger and frustration and all that stuff. If the voices that you're listening to are creating that in you, you need to listen to a different voice. Okay? Because the voice of Jesus produces in us the fruits of the Spirit. And these are the fruits of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit, Paul writes in Galatians, is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Right? When we are following Jesus, when we're listening to Jesus' voice and he's inviting us to serve him, and that's every day in every way. It's in what you do here in the church. It's in what we'll do over in the parish hall later. It's in the conversations the vestry will have with me. Right? It's wherever you go. It's in your schools, how you treat people you don't like. Right? If the voices that you're listening to are producing in you greater love, deeper peace, more abundant joy, increased patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control, then those are the voices that are leading us closer to God. In a podcast I listened to, it's called Leader's Journey, I was reminded this week that Ignatius, the great saint of the church, when his fellow monks asked, how do we know if we're following God's will or following the will of the enemy? That's how they referred to evil, the devil. Ignatius said, when you're following God's will, the Holy Spirit will protect and encourage you to continue, and the enemy will try and stop you. And when you're following the enemy's will, the Holy Spirit will try and stop you, and the voice of the enemy will encourage you forward. And I tell you this to remind you, right? There are many voices. And the fact that it feels good at the moment is not a good measure of whether it actually is the voice of Jesus. Jesus invites us not just into following him to make disciples of others, to be fishers of people, but that's a big piece of the work, isn't it? Of the living faithfully as followers of Jesus, our lives should be transformed to look more and more like the person who had compassion, even for those who died on the cross next to him, even for those who put him on the cross. Our lives should look like Jesus's lives and be filled with peace and joy and generosity. And it is with that prayer that I remind you that Jesus calls you today. Follow me. Follow me, and I will make you fishers of people. In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen.